From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. The U.S. Supreme Court today heard arguments in a case testing a key provision of the Americans with Disabilities Act. At issue is the law's power to require that state and local governments make public services and buildings such as courthouses accessible to the disabled. And the case tests the law's power to allow citizen lawsuits to enforce it. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Although the Americans with Disabilities Act became law 14 years ago, it is still often ignored. In Tennessee, for example, roughly a third of the courthouses are not accessible to the disabled. Today's test case involves a damage suit brought in one county by a court stenographer named Beverly Jones and a traffic court defendant named George Lane. Lane was forced to crawl up two flights of stairs to attend his arraignment on misdemeanor traffic charges. When he refused to repeat the ordeal at a second hearing and refused to be carried because he said he feared for his safety, he was jailed for failure to appear. He sued the state of Tennessee for $100,000 for failing to make the courtroom wheelchair accessible as required by federal law. Today, on the steps of the Supreme Court, Tennessee Solicitor General Michael Moore said that Congress exceeded its authority in allowing citizen damage suits against the state as an enforcement mechanism.
The mere existence of a staircase doesn't deny anyone a constitutional right. And in Mr. Lane's case, accommodations were offered to him, and he refused every single one of them.
Inside the courtroom, Moore immediately faced questions from Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who joined a Supreme Court decision 3 years ago invalidating similar private lawsuits against the states for employment discrimination against the disabled. Today, though, she questioned whether public accommodations might not be different because, unlike in employment cases, the disabled may have no other recourse. Question: does Tennessee provide any enforcement mechanism for citizens at the state level? Answer: no. Question: is there a way to enforce this section of the law other than with private lawsuits? Answer: the federal government can sue. O'Connor, with raised eyebrow, however, observed that other states are challenging that enforcement mechanism, too. Moore stuck to the case at hand. There is no evidence before this court, nor was there before Congress, that anyone's constitutional rights were violated because of disability. Justice Stevens: the government says that in 1975 there were 1 million students excluded from the public schools because the buildings were inaccessible. Justice Scalia: you don't concede, do you, that it's a constitutional violation to deny public education to handicapped students? Answer: no. Indeed, Moore added, outright intentional discrimination against the handicapped is permissible by the states as long as there is a rational basis for it, like cost. Justice Stevens: supposing the state's building a new hockey rink and the cost for building it with access for the disabled is the same as building it without access, could the state still exclude the disabled? Answer: yes, if there are other reasons. Stevens: well, suppose the manager didn't want the disabled there because it would pose problems for the ushers. Could they exclude the disabled on that basis? Answer: yes. Arguing the other side of the case were two lawyers, first William Brown representing Tennessee plaintiffs Beverly Jones and George Lane. When Brown told the court that nobody offered to carry Lane up the stairs at his first hearing, Justice Scalia interrupted. Does simply not being offered violate the Constitution? Can't he ask? Also defending the constitutionality of the ADA was the Bush administration's Deputy Solicitor General Paul Clement. The public accommodations provision of the law, he argued, is based on exactly the kinds of congressional findings of discrimination that the court found lacking in the employment section. Public accommodations, he said, involve fundamental rights, like voting. Chief Justice Rehnquist: well, what's discrimination in voting? Does that mean someone is not allowed to vote, or that a person would have to be carried upstairs to vote? Answer: Congress heard testimony of people being turned away from the polls. Rehnquist: how many? Answer: I can't give you numbers, but the evidence showed it was a significant problem. Justice Scalia: so they were turned away because there's no elevator. Is that a constitutional violation? Answer: I think if officials say you can't vote today, that does violate fundamental rights. Scalia: I don't know why. If you want to vote, you have to get assistance. Outside the courthouse, Beverly Jones, the court reporter who's one of the plaintiffs in the case, was asked about some of the justice's questions.
I was trying to determine if Justice Scalia was being serious. I wasn't for sure if he was asking those questions being facetious.
Jones said that for years she depended on the kindness of others and sometimes risked her own safety in allowing herself to be carried upstairs at the state's courthouses.
keep in mind, it wasn't just one person carrying me up the stairs. It would take one person behind me and one person in front, and many times another person telling the person behind me to when to step up. So to be on public display like that, obviously I became less tolerant of this year after year as I continued to go to the same courthouses and the same situation would occur.
As a result of her lawsuit, three of the four courthouses she works in have now put in elevators. The Supreme Court is expected to decide by summer if that lawsuit enforcement mechanism will continue to be available. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.